Okay, so we are going to start from the beginning. If you are tuning in earlier, if you're a podcast listener, everything should be smooth. So this week, 36 hours ago, Google published the Android 11 developer preview. And yeah, it's much earlier than expected.
February instead of March.
Definitely, by give or take three weeks, give or take a week. And it's so far, they're doing this because they want to give developers more time to adapt their apps and provide feedback after last year's scope storage fiasco. Kyle, do you want to run us down briefly on what happened then?
Yeah, last year they made some changes to Android 10, enforced it right off the bat, that basically said that apps couldn't read files unless they were their own files. I believe the downloads folder, I want to say, or they were given explicit permission to use that file. So because of that, a lot of apps just broke day one of Android 10, and a lot of people were upset about that, especially developers of apps like, you know, file managers and things like that. But they nixed that out of Android 10, brought it back with Android 11, but with enough time for developers to prepare for it.
Yeah, that is the big focus of Developer Preview 1, all on the developers. There are not too many user-facing changes. We've discovered quite a few minor ones, but nothing significant or major on the scale of like gesture navigation. Not that we would expect it in like DP1, but we'll go through all of those in just a bit later. But yeah, Google's focus right now is on the developers, and they're doing three developer previews, one for the next 3 months, and then starting in May at presumably I/O, they're going to release the first beta of Android 11. And that is when most people can sign up for the beta program and just install an OTA by enrolling the devices. So that is when most people should join. But for the most part, the experience for us, I've installed it on the P3, on the Pixel 3, and Kyle on the Pixel 3 XL. And it's honestly not bad.
Yeah, surprisingly stable. It's, if not even actually an upgrade in most cases. I haven't had any real stability issues, which has been, other than my one issue of sometimes I can't pull down the notification shade. Other than that, it's been great.
Mm-hmm. Other than that, which is a fair issue to have. I guess I haven't encountered any of those bugs, but the reason that most people shouldn't install this developer preview is because apps like Google Pay do not work. You can't do any payments, your stored cards don't show up properly, and it's a real big modern hassle. So the betas in May, you can wait out a few months to get those features. And that should be when you should jump in to a mostly smooth experience. With that out of the way, with that timeline out of the way, what is your, we've discovered, Kyle, what is your favorite, biggest feature, most impactful to you?
I really like the way that they're moving the media notification up into the quick tiles area. The quick tiles always kind of felt a little bigger than it needed to be. Like, so putting some media notifications, or putting the media notification up there instead of just lumping it in with the rest, I think that's a good quality of life change.
I don't know. I don't know how I feel about how it looks. I agree with the principle, but I don't know the way they're doing it seems very, it seems like they're fitting in the existing media notification into a
live streaming is on.
Do you want me to record a local backup just in case?
No, we never edit off those anymore.
Okay. Good Lord.
What?
It sounded like a roaring motorcycle came by.
Yeah, it's a thing. Okay, hello everyone. We should be back online, but there appears to be general issues with YouTube live streaming capabilities. So, yeah, what were we just talking about, Kyle?
I believe we were talking about how we felt about the notification for the quick notification for media.
Music. Yes.
You're talking about how it moved to a 3x2 grid, I believe.
Yes. So the actual design for media and quick settings sees Google move to a 3x2 quick setting tiles, while right next to it is the audio player. And to me, it just seems like it doesn't seem like a unique product idea versus them taking advantage of what's already there, if that makes any sense. And it kind of shows in how weird everything looks, how the buttons are kind of partitioned, how it's, again, this is still something you'd expect from the DP1. And they're just, but I think if they want to do this properly, they need to do a whole rethink of what quick settings looks like.
That, and I think it might benefit them to maybe reconsider how the notification works, rather than it being even a notification. Introduce a new API for developers to take advantage of this new area to the fullest.
Would they?
No. No.
Yeah.
No, but
yeah,
it's a good thought.
I don't. Opening up that area seems like that area should be stable and solid, and they should not touch it ever once they have a good design, which they currently do. So, yeah, that sent chills down my.
Yeah, I'm not sure how I feel about the 3x2 grid. I do like the fuller design when you fully drag down the tray.
Yeah, that's fine.
But the little half step is a little weird. I would almost rather just have 3 rather than 3x2. I don't need to have 6 options in my quick tray.
Mm-hmm. So I think the next interesting thing is what you discovered with Columbus.
Ah, yes. So Dylan and I mostly Dylan was digging around through the Android 11 code today and found some feature called Columbus, and was just kind of looking into it. And he said, here, turn this on, try this. Okay. I turned it on, and then all of a sudden, now the assistant's like triggering for no reason. I'm like, what's happening? And I'm like, oh, and it all came together, and I realized that I can take my phone and go pop, pop, on the back, get a nice firm double tap, and out comes the assistant who is hearing me and transcribing that. Oops. So, doing a little more digging, we were able to find more options and things that it can do. It's not just the assistant that it can trigger. It could do, it's kind of multi-purpose, a little bit like Motion Sense, so that it can snooze alarms, dismiss timers. It's supposed to be able to play and pause music, and it can open the camera app. That's what we've tested and kind of found that it can do so far.
So how many, so it's, what does it appear like how many gestures are there basically?
So it looks like there's just the one. It's just double tap. I mean, that's the name that it's even reference right there in the name Columbus, taking from Zombieland, you know, the character Columbus who had the double tap rule. It's all focused on that double tap for now, anyway. But it's just
I don't think they can build in any extra complexity there because of the sensor recognition. I think you pointed out that using accelerometer and gyro to do that. So it would be interesting to how much granularity you can apply there.
Yeah, I was kind of hopeful when we first read about it before we got it to actually work. When I was reading through it, I was thinking, oh man, it'd be so cool if I could just in my pocket tap on a specific part of my phone to do a thing. Like, oh, I want to skip ahead of track, so I want to tap on my pocket a little to the right instead of a little to the left. Kind of like
that would be
like the old days of having an iPod in your pocket and just kind of knowing, oh yeah, the play button's right about here, the skip's over there.
It's a clever solution in the way that it works through cases, and it doesn't have to be very precise. So
yeah,
assistant is. I wonder what that means for Active Edge in the context of having multiple gestures.
Yeah, I don't understand that either. Maybe customization of Active Edge. It doesn't make it. Columbus doesn't make any sense for an assistant gesture. Because any time that you would want to invoke the assistant, there's always a better way. Like if you're listening on Bluetooth headphones or something, and you have your phone in your pocket, you're gonna do something on your headphones to trigger assistant, not something on your phone.
Yeah. Usually. No, definitely. Yeah, it's like the camera would be the next logical conclusion, but you can of course double tap on the power button to launch it. I think tapping music is a pretty good low stakes candidate, depending on how refined they get this quality to be.
Yeah, it's definitely very sensitive right now, where the phone will just be sitting on the couch next to me, and maybe I'll like stand up and the assistant will trigger. It's just little things like that. Yeah, it's very frustrating right now. I have it on only because I kind of have to.
Yeah, definitely. So yeah, so that was a discovery by Dylan and yourself. And the next thing is also, I'm not going to say this word, but there is a new Bluetooth stack in Android 11.
I'll take a stab at it. I'm excited for any of the native Germans who apparently read our site to tell me how wrong I'm pronouncing the word Gabeldorsche.
Which translates to
fork beards,
leading to a very excellent cover image photoshopped by Ben Schoen of an Android figurine carrying a fork with a beard. So the most interesting thing, as you wrote about passionately, is that its name for this new Bluetooth stack. We don't know what it does yet, besides hopefully improve Android's Bluetooth situation. Well, I shouldn't say Android, Pixel's Bluetooth situation, if we're being honest here. So a history lesson, Professor.
Right. So Gabeldorsche, it translates to fork beards, which we're like, what in the world is that? But looking into the history of it, back in the 10th century, there was a king of Denmark whose name was Harald, and King Harald was given the nickname Bluetooth, and he is the same namesake for who we have the Bluetooth technology that we know it today. And he had a son who also was king of Denmark, whose name was Forkbeard.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Yeah. So this is definitely something that Googlers would do. This is just right up their alley in terms of how they would name stuff.
Yep. And apparently they noticed well into the development of Gabeldorsche, whatever, that it's supposed to have a hard, or there's not supposed to be an E at the end, because that makes it plural in German.
Mm-hmm.
And they realized that maybe months after it had already started development, and it's like, well, we can't rename it now.
Yep, you can't rename all. You can't go back and rename the strings and the code. So that's what we have. I do hope the innovation done here, whatever they've done to Bluetooth, matches the excitement with the name. I truly hope that.
But yeah, we're going to be digging into the code here soon to learn a little more about what's on offer. But supposedly, Google's going to be offering some documentation soon.
Ooh, exciting. So, jumping back into notifications, I think the most impactful thing that Google is doing at Android 11 right now in terms of messaging is trying to improve the communications experience, which they rightly pointed out is the most important thing you do with your phone these days. So one way they're doing this is by having a separate, in the notification shade, there is a new partition for conversations that groups your conversations together. It joins the silent notifications at the bottom and the general just feed of everything else. And personally, I think it's the notification shade adding one more section is a bit of an overkill. But you like it.
No. I was talking about the. I haven't seen it yet. I genuinely haven't seen it because I'm on a spare phone, so I don't. The only apps that I think it works with that we've seen so far, or that I've seen, are messages and voice. Yep, most of the other apps that I would use don't seem to work with it, so I don't see them because I don't have a SIM card in this particular phone. I'm not sure about it yet. I'm kind of with you. Like, it does seem like it's a step too much. But it could also help those presumably more important conversation notifications float above the rest, which is helpful.
Yeah. And this, I think it slides right into it, Bubbles, which is Google chat heads popularized by Facebook Messenger and their Facebook phone, which did not do well. But the concept has kind of flourished in Android, and Google is making it official. So basically, I'm sure you've seen one, but it's a floating bubble with an avatar's contact.
Yep.
With a contact's avatar, excuse me. And when you tap it, it just shows you the full messaging thread. And it's this idea of being able to always see the full context of a message, the full history, whenever you're replying. What do you feel about chat heads if you've used it in the context of Facebook?
I used to like them. I even had I'm trying to remember the name of the app. I had a messaging app called Ninja, which turned text messaging into that. I even paid for it. I paid like $2 for it. And now I hate it. I absolutely hate it. I turn it off on every device I can.
Yeah, no, I agree. And when it first launched for me, I first experienced a Nexus 7 on this gigantic floating screen. And over time, on phones, I know phones are getting bigger, but it annoys me too. It pops up annoying sometimes. Where it physically pops up isn't consistent, and it's just I don't want another. Like, I rather much have a notification icon, a status bar icon, rather than have this big annoying bubble.
I would say it goes in the opposite direction of Google's digital well-being movement. I mean, that's a strong stance, but that's really how I feel about it. It goes against me.
No, I definitely agree.
It's very loud, as you said. Not just audibly loud, but visually loud and distracting.
I think if it was like you could pick a person, like if you have like two people that are very important to you, maybe it would be fine. It wouldn't be too much of a cognitive visual load, as you were mentioning. But as I don't want every single messenger conversation to generate a bubble. So I think there could be some granularity here going forward. But this looks to be the year of the bubble. They start experimenting in Android 10. And you can enable it in messages basically right now. And it's set to get its full debut in the coming sometime this year.
As long as there's an option to turn it off, I think everybody will be happy with it, because I know there are a lot of people who like the feature genuinely.
I agree. Yeah. So let's see, what else do we have? Going thematic with notifications. I think we just cleared out notifications. That's funny.
I mean, there was a couple things like with the logs and stuff like that, but that's not anything too special.
Nothing too special. The share sheet is better. Well, it's faster. Well, maybe it's just because I installed a new version of the OS, but the icons are smaller. At least you can pin stuff again. That's like a big usability.
Pin is a very big deal. I am so excited about being able to pin.
Yeah, I'm not too fond of this, of what they introduced with Android 10 with the sheet. Hopefully, I honestly prefer the wrist. A wrist is fine for me. I didn't have to go left to right. I could just keep scrolling until I found the app I wanted.
Yeah, but as the app got longer, the list of apps installed got longer, you had to keep scrolling and scrolling and scrolling, and it wasn't in any sane order necessarily.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's very fair. So yeah, notification sheets. In terms of like catch up and what stock Android is doing compared to other OEMs, we are looking at a revamp of screenshots.
Yeah. That's really exciting. Like it was incredible that right off the bat, they just threw the built-in screen recorder right in.
Mm-hmm. Just a quick settings tile.
Yeah. I'm excited to see if it proceeds onto this screenshot button.
Yeah. They need a good way to communicate that, because very early last year in Android 10, they just allowed, if you held down the screenshot button, it would start a video recording, but that UI was so not visible to users. So I don't know what a better way without adding more buttons into that menu.
Yeah. The quick setting makes a lot of sense. I mean, it's already where people who want to screen record expect there to be a screen record button.
The
most popular screen recording app puts an icon there, and I think that's why some of us didn't even notice it immediately, because we already had a screen record button, so it didn't, and it looks the same.
Yeah, that's true. So next thing is scrolling screenshots for the revamped UI.
Yes, beautiful, beautiful material theme inspired. Do you think that's going to be Pixel, or do you think that's Android in general? Or maybe Android will get, AOSP will get something with a different UI?
I think they have to build out the UI for AOSP for everybody. So I think like the Nokias and the Microsoft and the Motorola's of the world are just going to get that UI.
True,
as well.
True. I mean, it looks really nice, and it also, I could see it being kind of enforcing material theming on other OEMs. So it's really intriguing to see how the other ones handle it.
Yeah. That said, I'm sure, like, again, Nokia and Motorola might customize it however they want. So,
yeah.
But yeah, at least it's catching up to other OEMs, Samsung in particular.
Yeah, and even Huawei.
With that app feature. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's basically those high-level features that we've spotted. What's more interesting is doing a little bit of digging. We saw battery share, this feature that hints at reverse wireless charging, presumably for the upcoming Pixel, the Pixel 5, and you saw a code name.
Yeah, one of the code name, Dylan found a code name, Redfin, which we had spotted once before. And when it was spotted, it was shown to have the Snapdragon 765,
mm-hmm.
which we know, while being a 5G-equipped chip, is not a flagship chip. It's not a top-of-the-line Snapdragon 865 $1,000 phone chip. Mm-hmm. It's quite a few steps below that, even though it technically is only one step below in the 2020 hardware lineup. It's still significantly below it as far as performance goes. So, but at the same time, that's completely counteracted by the fact that reverse wireless charging, or as what this calls it, battery share,
mm-hmm.
that's a premium feature right now. There's only like a small handful of phones that have that right now. I believe the Note 10, the S10, the S20, mm-hmm. I want to say maybe a Huawei.
Maybe a Huawei. I never got the point of this feature. To be
no, me either. But
to use battery share, your phone has to be still, and therefore you you have to not be using your phone.
Right. And it kind of goes against the, like, maybe I'm keeping my Pixel Buds and, or my Pixel Buds case in the same pocket as my phone, but
there's no way to line up. That's, unless there's magnets, but that presents a whole nother challenge of putting magnets on phones.
And electromagnetism and all that fun stuff.
Yeah, I don't get the convenience of this feature. And wireless charging is historically, it's not very efficient. You're just losing more data than you're losing more energy than you're really getting it. Plus, it makes your phone hot. There's a lot of trade-offs here.
Yeah, I only see it as like a in case of emergency feature.
Yeah, or agree, maybe, I absolutely agree.
Or maybe a bragging point. Like, I have a friend with an S10. He's like, "Oh, is your phone dying? You can charge it on mine."
Oh,
nobody
wow.
ever takes him up on it though. Like, I think he's just dying to use it once.
No, I've actually this is a complete tangent, but so I recently indoctrinated a Pixel 4 user into getting a Pixel 4, and his comment is, I have a Pixel 4, and his comment is, how come these phones don't do anything when they're next to each other? They should do something, which is like a really interesting thought experiment. iPhones can airdrop. Samsung phones can do something, I assume, when they're together. There's a whole bevy of features, so I'm sure there's something, of course, proximity functionality. But yeah, maybe these phones should do something together.
I mean, it seems like the only features they've been working on that's even remotely close to that is like the better together movement for Chromebooks.
That has dropped off. So basically the idea is if your phone is near your Chromebook, it'll automatically unlock via Bluetooth. That never works.
Never
successfully works. It's also easier to share your internet connection, which is, that's a good point. But I'm not sure.
When it works. I still find myself once in a while needing to set up manual Bluetooth or manual hotspot.
So that's a tangent into better together. I guess we're getting nearby sharing soon. Whenever that's happening.
But that would be Androids in general, not just Pixels. So I don't know what would
hopefully it's Android in general.
Fingers crossed. What would just Pixels do?
And Chromebooks, probably. But I know, that's the thing. They should do something. I don't know, Google Lens. Maybe if you point Google Lens at another Pixel, something happens. But otherwise, it's a small thing, but it should be something.
Then again, if they did anything like that, how many people would be able to use it?
That's true, but the people you've convinced to buy your phones, they want to be on the living edge. They like Easter eggs as much as the employees do.
So. The only other Pixel owner I know in the state of Louisiana is my wife. So, just a thought there.
Yeah, just a thought. That's totally fair. So speaking of the Pixel 4, Android 11 introduces more motion sense gestures, specifically one, the ability to play and pause music. And that is, I'm hoping it's not exclusive to Android 11 in that we get it in an upcoming feature drop, but it's very useful. I do now have use cases where I use motion sense. It took a few months, literally, but I use it to skip music when I'm like brushing my teeth. So basically, it's a limited use case, but I use it frequently enough that being able to play and pause music would be handy.
Yeah, I could absolutely. I'm surprised that wasn't in there to begin with, you know, but that seems like one of those obvious ones.
Yeah, the gesture in particular is just putting your hand over the phone and up and down, I think, is how it...
I think it's just supposed to be like you do an air tap to it. You just kind of...
Yeah, an air tap. That's a very good way to describe it. So it's a bit more stationary than swiping. But yeah, it looks really good. And that would be one of the reasons I want to switch. I want to install DP1 on my Pixel 4, though I shouldn't. It's no. Those gestures.
Yeah, I mean, I'll try those gestures one day.
Yes, one day. Pixel 3 owner, which you ain't missing out on much, to be fair.
Yeah. I mean, and fingers crossed we even get motion sense on Pixel 5.
Yeah. They can't cut it out, can they? It's at this point, they're working on it. It would be a very embarrassing step back to not include it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Though I'm sure it drives up the cost.
Which is why they're cutting costs by, well.
It very much looks like they're cutting down with the processor, as Kyle mentioned earlier, with the 765. But yeah.
We still don't know that for sure. That it could be that Google introduces a mid-tier between the A and the mainline series, but we don't have any evidence one way or the other for now. Mm-hmm.
So yeah. So with that future or towards the future, is there anything else in Android 11 that piqued your interest?
It just feels like it's a nice quality of life upgrade for now.
For now, yeah.
Like dark mode scheduling. I know people were really, really hyped about that one.
Yes, they were. They absolutely were. I don't know why, to be honest, dark mode all the time for me personally.
I was about that life for the majority of my time with Android 10, but in the past like week or two, I find myself going back to light mode from time to time. Material looks nicer in light theme.
Yes, it does. You're totally not getting the benefits of material when you're in dark theme all the time, because there's not enough range, frankly, to distinguish stuff.
Shadows, especially the shadows, are a very big part of what makes material. You get to see that elevation of things.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. So yeah, dark theme scheduling. Let's see what else stood out so far at the moment.
Nothing too much.
Yeah, nothing too much. I do have to say, like, with what I got out of Android 11, at least of this DP1, is the security changes they're doing. So they're going to introduce the ability to grant one-time permission to location, video, and what's the other one?
Microphone.
Audio? Microphone, yes, audio. So that's building on the ability to only allow location access when you're using an app. Google shared that half of all users presented with that option prefer using only while using this app to cut down on background data. And then it builds on the fact that Google is going to review all Android apps requesting background location access. By November, all apps will have to get this approval. So it has to be a core function of your app if you want to use background location access. And this is like a very good move by Google to secure the genuine concern that people have about background location.
It's not even necessarily just about the privacy functions of it either. Android is not exactly known for having the most efficient location services as far as battery goes.
That's true.
Being able to cut back on that should be a big boon to Android's overall battery life once all that goes through.
I didn't even think of that. That would be amazing to see how that impacts. So in terms of that's a Play Store level feature. So it wouldn't require Android 11. Just newer phones that people already have could start benefiting from that. I'm not sure if they described how they're going to handle people who've already granted permission. I don't remember that in the blog post. They're going to start ramping up enforcement. I believe in August, all new apps will need to abide by this. And by November, all existing ones will also have to be account for this background location rule.
Yeah, it's going to be a good thing in the long run. I'm very excited about the camera and the microphone things too, because sometimes there'll be an app that wants to see my camera and maybe I'll want to do it one time.
Yeah. Oh man. Do I have something about that? Yeah. Okay. So these social apps, Instagram, Snapchat, whatever, they make it so easy to jump into your camera. Like an errant swipe will take you to the camera in the case of Instagram to take a picture. And it's very annoying. It very much seems like a growth hack. And I do upload pictures occasionally, but I don't want it all the time. So I think this is a very good way to... I think if... It's interesting how apps will have to design around this, like permissions pop up appearing more times than you'd expect.
Yeah, I mean, I guess... I don't think so, because I think anytime you try and access something that needs the permission, that's when the permission gets asked for.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah, it does. I was just thinking of the use cases where you accidentally open the camera UI.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess if they don't tell people, hey, if you want to keep doing this, you need to tap always.
Yeah. Yeah, that phrasing will be interesting. But yeah, that's a minor annoyance in social apps that I find today. But yeah, I think that's it for DP1, for Android 11 Developer Preview 1. I guess we should expect another preview this time next month, and then again. And the one with May, since I/O is a bit early, should be coming during the conference. But otherwise, we have a clear path towards Android 11 coming out in the third quarter of 2020. Last year, it was September, I believe. It's usually August, but last year they pushed it a month. So yeah.
Probably due to making that last minute scope storage change, among other things. A lot of negative feedback from Android 10. That's what I remember.
Yeah. And yeah, they're correcting it this time. So
absolutely.
Hopefully it's smooth sailing internally as it is externally this year.
Yeah, maybe we'll be back on track for August.
Yeah, it gives us enough clearance from the Pixel event. So that's a nice thing to do.
Absolutely. Make sure that it's all stable on the Pixels before they launch a new one, for that matter.
Definitely. So yeah, thank you everyone for joining us. I know there have been technical difficulties, to which YouTube just tweeted out an update. It also affected YouTube TV, apparently. Everything finished. Everything has been fixed. So thank you for everybody that stuck around live. And until next time, you can find us on all your favorite podcast players, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts. Oh, speaking of podcasts, YouTube Music is finally going to get its upload library, which would insinuate the end of Google Play Music. So I guess the days where I get to mention you can listen to us on Google Play Music are winding down. And of course, you can also listen to us online at 9to5google.com. Thank you for joining us, and thank you to Kyle.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Bye.